right, yes. This is the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show, right here on RBN. I am your host, V, as usual. And we are going to have Tyrant Tuesday today. And, you know, it's going to be explorative and educating, I hope. But of course, I've got my co-host here with me that's going to help liven things up and add more perspective. I've got Kyler Davenport here with us tonight, and also Bill the Butcher. So we're going to go ahead and get the show started here. Now, Bill has the butcher shop, and he does these wonderful articles. He's always flooding the chats with his articles, and they're great. Always bring up excellent points, and it's very down to earth, and it's a good daily read. I think everybody should. If you're the kind of person who picks up the newspaper, you're the kind of person who should be reading this material. Very short and to the point. As a matter of fact, I would like to start off the show with Bill presenting an article to us. If you can unmute yourself, Bill. I had to mute him for the show because he was looking for the article. Go ahead, Bill.
All right, let me pull this up and we're going to go up here to Grand People. I wrote this article actually some time ago, but I updated it, and it's like timeless. I just had my grandchildren here for like a week, and this article says it all. It's all clean. You'll love it. And there's a couple of short stories at the end of it that are clean, and you'll enjoy something to start to show light and give you a laugh. And if you ever had grandchildren visit, you'll appreciate this, okay? Okay, the holidays are family tradition. We need not only reflect on the blessings that we should be thankful for, but also those who we shared the blessings with. This is an older article, but it fits the season, and it's really all about kids, let's face it. Somewhere around 30 or so, the magic of the holidays gets away from us, paying bills, working, the breaks, you know, sometimes gets in the way, and we become guilty about not plodding along and doing that treadmill, but kids, especially grandkids, well, they ain't there yet. Ever wonder why the best holidays are about the end of the year? Because back in the day, that's when the crops were all in and everyone was gathered around the fireplace. Now we gather in smaller groups, but there are still some things that endure, even with all the mass. So I'm going to give you grand people. Grandchildren can be a very fulfilling part of your life. Their joy, playfulness, and love fills your autumn years, and why is that so stressful? Where do they find the capacity to inflict insanity on otherwise docile old people? I've come up with some things that run you over to the edge, and if you're a grandparent, you will recognize them all. Repeat, repeat, repeat. Two-year-olds are just figuring out language. There's a lot of baby talk, and they're becoming aware that the importance of the communication plays in their life, but there's two issues. They still talk 80% baby talk, and they think you don't understand anything they say or request, so it's all verbally Xerox. I feel y'all go here in Hawana. What? I feel y'all go here in Hawana. What? I feel y'all go here in Hawana. Not only, the only answer you can give is no. This doesn't stop the inquiry, which will continue for maybe 8 hours. So-and-so is doing this or that to me. Always remember that you are the higher court. As such, you have to hear all complaints from all grand people against all other grand people, and there's only one designation, Class A felony. There is no pardon, no parole, and no appeal. The accuser wants justice so they can watch, which is high entertainment. After justice is administered, you can expect countercharges. Water, water everywhere, and not a drop to drink. You must give grandchildren water. There are laws. When you give five grandchildren water, it is no less than Moses parting the Red Sea. There are three options. Option A, give one big drink to all of them and then pass it around. Are you a fool, you ask? What about germs? Forget the germs. They're already sharing them. They eat dog poop. Not measured amounts and very fair. Share, share, share. They will scream at you until you choke. But possession is 100% of the law in the grand people, civil code. Grab, drink as fast as you can. You can't touch me. I'm the Aquaman. This has all others spinning and crying. B, separate drinks for all. Give them only clear water and put them in a room that you intend to shampoo. C, give up in disgust and just throw the water in the backyard. I go potty. They crap all the time, which only goes to show that they immediately feel the urge. Simple logic is that only one person can sit on the toilet at one time does not play into their logic. This invariably elicits screams from the bathroom. I hate the sound of the word papa. A bath used by grandchildren cannot have soaps, toilet paper, water, rugs, or towels in it. These things are provided as needed. Also, try not to have small kittens around. They will fit in a commode. I know this. I pooped myself. In time, you will learn to appreciate the smell and the texture of all crap. It's sort of like learning to eat sushi. You know, it's actually stupid, but everybody else does it. So you just think about it, worry about it. You're worried about sharing the water glass between siblings that you eat raw fish with worms in it. Don't tell me you haven't Googled that. A two-year-old in potty training is like running a blender with the lid off, if you can picture the lid being on the bottom. Sometimes they will make it, but these times are so not so numerous as to be reliable, and no statistics can ever be drawn. And I have read all the methods in potty training. Ignore these. These people are all liars. What will happen is one day you'll just notice that they're sitting on the toilet, and you'll never know how you did it until that day. You just have to accept that your life is going to be crap. Meals. Oh, my God. Never, never, never sit grand people within striking distance of each other at mealtime. Throwing a bone into a dog pound makes more sense. And forget about equal portions. A crack dealer with a postal scale can not measure meals with accuracy required to satisfy these people. And don't give them water. Do that later. My granddaughter, the Puck, is a diabetic, so she gets the unfair plate. She has developed a lizard's tongue where she can snap a potato from a sibling's plate at about 2 yards. Nap time. There is no hope. They only sleep when they knock each other out. You will fall asleep before they do. May God have mercy on you when this happens. My twins can remove a full-size door and pull down a ceiling fan if given just a little uninterrupted time. When you wake, you will not believe. The solution? Handcuffs. Even when the parents show up. Eventually, the parents will show up. They have to. That's the law. They may ask you if you're doing anything that night. Lie. Then they have to take the grandkids with them, and you can tell everyone what a wonderful time you had with the grandchildren. Control and listen and watch what they see on YouTube. I say YouTube because that's where most of the juicy stuff is, and it can be anything. My grandkids live in Mormonville, Utah. Mormon kids are so sweet. They say, yes, ma'am, and mother, may I, and they never pee off the porch. Well, my grandpeople are from downtown Central Texas, and they will fly up your cat. They will fry up your cat if they can find enough jalapenos to season it. They also have iPads, iPhones, and the best internet money can buy. Hence, you have YouTube. Now, most of the time, the channels are like the bright side, at least what you're supposed to see. But if you're not watching it straight, it's straight Californication. Now, these little fellows aren't into porn or anything like that, but they sure are into rap. They don't completely understand the meanings of some of the words, such as riding dirty. Their grandmother convinced them that that means that you can be arrested for riding in a dirty car. Don't knock it. It worked. My 2 8-year-old grand twins found themselves in the Boys and Girls Club and playground among shiny, clean Mormon kids on a Sunday afternoon. At the top of the slide is a little girl about their age, and she's frozen stiff at the prospect of going over the top. The twin directly below her is trying to push her up by the butt up the ladder, and after a minute, both twins start rapping. move, bitch, get out the way, get out the way, bitch, get out the way. And the other Quinn joins in, and the staff pulls them off the ladder before they finish the whole song. And they're all ladies' men. Coming out of the club one day, they got into the van, and the new baby told me that there was a new girl in the club. Papa, she was so pretty. The twins were flipping over backwards. She said she was in the third grade, but she looked like she was in the second. And the granddaughter, Puck, give me a break. She comes downstairs one morning with a sleeveless blouse, not that there's anything wrong being sleeveless. Her hair spiked straight up with the tips stained with India ink. Mascara on her, make her look like a raccoon. Leotards and a tutu. And she's ready to trot off to school with Joseph Smith's finest. If the boys at the holier-than-thou elementary school had seen her when they were 8 years old, by the time they were 80, she would have never aged. And then there's Justin Bobby. Bobby is an entrepreneur. He sells fruits, and he and his brothers pick the fruit from their own orchards on their property. Cherries, apricots, and other varieties. Bobby lives in Brigham City, a city so of the devout and so faithful that Bobby is a Gentile. You see, everyone is equal in Brigham City. However, the temple worthy are a little more equal. You know, there ain't enough people of color up there, so they picked a few Gentiles and they make us those people. Well, yesterday, sales were down. As he sat there on the corner of Celestial and Terrestrial, the cars whizzed by completely ignoring little Bobby and his 20-odd little baskets of fresh GMO-free apricots. What to do? Well, oh, by the way, Bobby's a little butthole. I just thought you ought to know that. So he dispatches his little brother, the new baby, to get poster board and stencils. Slowly but surely and carefully, he makes a sign, ice cold beer. On the other brothers, a twin known as Nick the Lawyer raises the possibility there may be an imperial implications with them not having a liquor license. So they added in little bitty letters IBC and root, just under the word beer. Irregardless of what was iced down in the fruit stand was very different. Very small, of course, known as fine print. In short order, there was traffic at the little fruit stand as the faithful beat a path to the best little fruit stand in Utah. Soon Bobby was out of fruit and whatever was in the cooler under the stand and had been taken by enthusiastic patrons, and he was about $200 richer. God bless America. What you wouldn't know, wouldn't you know it, here come the popo and the sheriff and the CPS and the newspaper and Fox News. What the CPS worker jumped and spit, the cops searched for the evidence, paper took pictures, and little Bobby just counted his money. No evidence was ever found. All gone. Ain't nothing. Nobody seen nothing. In the end, Bobby took his money home, and the CPS took the sign, and they'd have been in a better mood if they just had a beer. Anyway, the story will be forever remembered, the time that little Bobby grabbed Brigham City by the, well, you know. Thank you, gentlemen.
Quite wonderful. Very poetic, even.
Well, the funny thing was, on the beer thing, I wasn't told by family. I got a call from Doc Green down in Houston. Have you checked Fox News today? I said, no, I just got up. Why don't you check Fox News? And there was my grandson on Fox News holding up a sign. Free beer!
Absolutely. It's wonderful that you're a grandparent and seeing how our elders are on the big no-no list as far as the NWO is concerned. We need to spread the knowledge of experience from generation to generation. Very important that we do not forget that. So, yeah, thank you for that article, Bill. Wonderful, wonderful article. Got to have more of those. Almost felt like a little kid again. Need to sit on your lap. A little milk and cookies and tell me some stories. But once again, we're going to have a Tyrant Tuesday here. And I want to lead in with, some information about Bill Gates. So I really want to skip this upcoming break, Mike, and just hop into the clip about the exposed Bill Gates. And I do believe that is, yes, number two on the list.
Hey friends, just as promised, I am recording this video today to join the campaign to expose Bill Gates. But I'll be doing this in a bit of an unconventional way, because whereas a lot of people are scrutinizing Bill Gates, rightly so, and looking at his work and looking at his activism, for the last 10 years, I have been preoccupied with looking at the works and the words of his wife, Melinda Gates, who also is a very much a partner in the work. Now, Melinda Gates came to my attention back in 2012, and it was quite a shock for me because I was watching the news and I saw Melinda Gates talking about this massive project she was doing in Africa. So, you know, I kind of listened closer to know exactly what it was. And then she starts to talk about this $5 billion she was trying to raise and campaign for, which was going to be used specifically for family planning and contraceptive drugs and devices in the 69 poorest countries in the world, of which, of course, most of the African countries belong in that category. So this really startled me and really confused me, because the question I was asking myself at the time, 2012, I knew about the Gates and I kind of admired them as these people who did like great work and they were doing amazing things in Africa. So I came to this from a really innocent perspective. I was following the track, following what she was doing. Then I came across her execution plan. Now, she wasn't only planning to kind of encourage people, like, you know, do family planning, space your children. No, that was not what Melinda Gates was doing. Melinda Gates came hand in hand with Pfizer and some other stakeholders. These wealthy Western organizations, they came into Africa, but not only were they telling us to control our population, they came with their own drugs and devices. So Melinda Gates came in with Pfizer, who had at the time come up with this new format or new delivery system of a well-known dangerous contraception, the Depo-Provera, which a lot of people have complained about in the West, which in some cases, like in the United States, you would see FDA warning, black box warning within, you know, with the contraception. But then they came in with this thing, they were calling it the Cyanopress, to show you, here is a picture of the Cyanopress, to show you that they were targeting Africans. Every time that I saw the Cyanopress, it was in the hands of a black woman. Every single time. So the Cyanopress, which contained within it the Depo-Provera, which has already had all kinds of problems in Western countries, which even at the time when I looked at the website, here is a screenshot at the time of the website from Pfizer when they did the press release about the Cyanopress that they were releasing with the Gates Foundation. They have it clearly written that this device or this drug, the Cyanopress, is not approved and it's not available within the United States or for the United States. So something that wasn't good enough for the United States, that was good enough for them to bring to Africa. Now take a look at this map of where the Gates Foundation and like-minded organizations like FB 2020, which was actually co-founded by the Gates Foundation. This is the map that they released back in 2012 of the 69 countries where they were going to be carrying out their extensive population control project. You see these places marked out in blue? You see how they've marked out most of African countries? This is what I call philanthropic racism. This is the acceptable racism of the 21st century. But leave population control and family planning to one side. I want to talk about abortion. It was back in 2014 that the Gates Foundation came out and publicly stated that they would no longer be funding abortion. A lot of people clapped for them. A lot of people praised them, and there were all these things that people were embracing them and saying how amazing. But then, again, you peel back the layers. Gates Foundation is in bed, yes, in bed with some of the worst and most notorious abortion organizations in the world, and they continue to be their greatest funders or their highest funders. Take, for example, Marie Stopes International, an organization that is aborting more than 3 million babies a year. By their own records, they are aborting about more than 3 million babies a year. This is a British organization. It is a British organization, yes, but the Gates Foundation were still somehow able to collaborate with them. The Gates Foundation gives them more money than almost anybody else, maybe except the British government, but the Gates Foundation gives them a large chunk of their yearly budget. Marie Stopes then takes that money, goes into African countries, and they are performing abortions, illegal abortions at that, in several countries. Why do I know, or how do I know? Because I have followed the work of Marie Stopes International as well. And on several occasions, they have been accused of illegal abortions, and yet the Gates Foundation stands with them. But it's not just that. It's not just about the Gates having their millions and millions of dollars end up aborting illegally babies across different African countries. It's also something more sinister that I found out that was happening a couple of months ago. It's about this organization called Genuity. Genuity is an American organization which is little known. The first time I heard about Genuity, I never knew about them. I never heard about them. But then the reason why I took notice of Genuity was because of this particular clinical trial they were doing in Burkina Faso, which is a small West African country. Genuity, this American research organization, was doing a second trimester medical abortion experiment in Burkina Faso, where abortion is not even legal. But what does this have to do with Melinda Gates and the Gates Foundation? So when I started investigating Genuity, I went to their website and I opened their page on their donors. Now, look at what their donor list is like. The very first donor listed by Genuity is the Gates Foundation. So again, the Gates Foundation money not only goes to killing of unborn babies in Africa, but it's also going to the experimentation on African women and the illegal experimentation on African women and second trimester abortions being done in the name of medical research. This is the Gates Foundation. Let me talk a bit about vaccinations. I know that a lot of good people have done great work to expose the Gates Foundation and their involvement with some downright sinister vaccination projects in the developing world. But one particular one struck a chord in me, and I do want to talk about that because it had to do with population control. Back in 2013, in fact, between 2013 and 2015, the World Health Organization was doing this huge vaccine project, anti-tetanus vaccination project, that was targeting particularly young girls and women of reproductive age in Kenya. Some Catholic doctors then intercepted some vials or some bottles of this vaccine and they sent it off to a lab. Now, the result came back and they found out that this vaccine was laced with HCG, which in fact, depending on how and at the time it's given, it could be abortive agent. So in other words, the World Health Organization was accused by these Catholic doctors and the Catholic Bishops Conference by extension of sterilizing and doing population control in their country. But then this was swept under the table or swept under the carpet. What does it have to do with the Gates Foundation? Because I know I'm talking about a World Health Organization program. But then it's not a secret that the Gates Foundation is, in fact, the highest non-governmental donor of the World Health Organization. They are funding a lot of the projects that the World Health Organization wants to do. So the World Health Organization brings out their wish list, the Gates Foundation will just rush in and then fund it through their various funding streams. These are some of the things that had come to my attention, and we keep peeling back the layers. Either you see some research the Gates Foundation has been involved with to show that something is dangerous for Africa, and they still come into Africa and they get to do whatever it is that they want to do. do. They go into African leaders' offices, they go into our institutions, they are infiltrating every part of the African continent. Now, I want to share with you this clip that I came across a while back. This was a clip from 60 Minutes that was aired, I think, about 9 years ago. So it's a long time ago, and it was probably right at the beginning of when Melinda Gates started her huge population control project. And honestly, every time that I watch this clip, I always tear up. It's a clip from 60 Minutes, as I said, but it's Scott Pelley. I think that's his name. That's the show host, the CBS show host of the show with Melinda Gates. They were in some part of the developing world, and they are having this discussion.
One of these meetings yesterday, and I remember that a lady told you that she had had 8 children, and 4 of them had died in childbirth, or shortly thereafter. But if all of them had survived, she'd have 8 children. And what the developing world does not need is more children.
And I think that was the biggest aha to Bill and me when we got into this work, is we asked ourselves, of course, the same hard-nosed question you'd ask, which is, if you get into this work and you start to save these children, will women just keep overpopulating the world? And thank goodness the converse is absolutely true. And so they don't do that, because women say to themselves, they want 2 children to survive into adulthood. If she knows that 2 will survive into adulthood, she will naturally bring down her population. And so as soon as she starts to see that getting them vaccinated or keeping them alive during the birth, she won't have as many children. That's what we just heard from this group as well, that the older women had had more children, hoping more would survive, but the younger children, younger women are starting to plan for smaller families because they know they'll live.
They all said they wanted 3.
Yeah, which is fantastic.
Not
that's
8.
That's what you want, yeah.
And so if you understand that there's a high likelihood that your child is going to survive, you believe they'll have fewer.
Absolutely, and we're seeing that play out in all the population numbers across the globe. In fact, the population rates are coming down faster than had been predicted. Aha to Bill and me when we got into this work, is we asked ourselves, of course, the same hard-nosed question you'd ask, which is, if you get into this work and you start to save these children, will women just keep overpopulating the world?
Okay, and see, those are the facts, at least as far as I can see the research. Of course, you know, these things are always need to be verified. I think this woman has done great research, and you cannot discount this information, people. It's very important. Very important. So we're going to talk about this when we come back from commercial break. I want you guys participating. Call in. Phone numbers 800-313-9443. Yes, once again, phone numbers 800-313-9443. And we will definitely... Oh, and don't forget the local number. If you are there in Austin, Texas, please feel free to call the local line, which is 512-248-8252. All right. Catch you on the other side of the break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extendivite 7 herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile oxysilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Yeah. So, leading into this part of the show, after that wonderful presentation, I want to talk about this. Let's be real about this. Genocide in Africa. Now, I wasn't even aware that the reject vaccines were being sent to Africa to be used. Kyler, did you know anything about that?
All of the rejects are being sent by Bayer and AstraZeneca and others all over the world and being used as we speak right now and have been for the last 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. Yeah, it's just common practice, common knowledge. The United States, there's no moratorium as far as how long you have to keep one under the lid or how many tests you have to do in these foreign countries. So they just take them. They don't make any money here. They go over there and make a few billion dollars. And by the way, I'm all for genocide. I'm all for population control, especially in Africa where they're popping out 8 and 9 babies at a time. They need to stop that. They need to go like China, just one child per family. And we need to educate these folks, these black folks over there. That's all they do is have kids.
I'm glad you said that, because that is the very thing I wanted to discuss, because there is so much imagery, control, and it really distorts people's reality when the facts are distorted. Now, when you want to talk about...
I mean, they're doing the same thing. They're doing the same thing here in the Northwest, the white folks.
Well, I mean, but talk about that 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 kids. I mean, we had Octomom, right? And she's not a rare occurrence. I know lots of TIs, women, that happen to be Caucasian with 8 children. Most with different baby daddies.
Yeah.
So it's, I think you go along with the narrative, and that just may be a bias, but to say one person or one culture should better the other by force is, I don't know, it's a bit convoluted. I mean,
not really.
Let's just say, we've had a black president, right? Did everything go to hell?
Well, yeah, pretty much.
Well, you know what I mean, comparatively speaking.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we have, put it this way. If I were to run for president as a black man and win, I am not going to have all this BS around. If I know I can clear the corruption, I'm going to do it. I mean, I might have some stereotypical habits, black habits. You know, I may just not pay the water bill. It really drained the swamp, huh?
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah, I mean, but no, in all seriousness, to educate, I mean, I know we're tribesmen. If they could sit you down and you understand their language, they would teach you wisdom that you would have never heard before in your life. That you're definitely not going to hear on TV. That you're not going to hear in public schools. To do that, and there is this whole myth of this, well, there's whites are, you know, the population's gone down. We're being outnumbered. And, you know, there are those who believe that stuff, which is absolutely not true. And when your race is dominant in politics, what does it matter? The number of who occupies what place.
Now, well, I think the whole point here is about babies coming out of a womb. I mean, you're getting off track. I mean,
just to qualify what I'm saying. So in Canada, they had these huge billboards put up saying, oh, only one baby per family needed. Pretty much, I'm paraphrasing. And right. On these posters were black babies. So, in Canada, I'm sure there's a huge population of black people in Canada.
Yeah.
Right? So, this genocide is not for the betterment or the bringing up.
It's a matter of perspective, really. I mean, it's a matter of syntax. I mean, it's, you know, how you say it. It's not really how you say it. It's what are you trying to accomplish? You know, you're trying to get rid of babies. I mean, we're trying to depopulate here. We're trying to get the population down to a workable measure, you know, to a user friendly measure. You know, a sustainable measure is what we're trying to do. I mean, white women up here have 7 and 8 little carriages. They pull these expensive baby carriages. I just think they're mentally retarded. I'd love to get out and just slap them, you know, bitch slap them, as they say, you know. And Billy used that word a while ago, too, by the way. But I just like to bitch slap them. I mean, you need one child per couple, like in China, or just execute them, just shoot them in the head. It's $100,000 fine in China. But I say just shoot them in the head, dig a big ditch, and let them fall off of the ditch, cover them up.
Okay, so where is this coming from? Now that I have a direct connection to this mentality, where does it come from? How has someone else's existence infringed upon you, in your opinion?
I just don't like snotty-nosed little kids that are always crapping their pants and peeing their pants. They're just in the way. In my opinion, they're just in the way. They're good for absolutely nothing until they're, you know, maybe 19 years old. Other than that, they're just putting parents in prison, especially nowadays. They have nothing to do. They have no fields to work in, no hay to haul, no taters to dig, no maters to pick. Like when I grew up, no barns to build. They're just in the way. They're just in the way. And we're bringing them up in a society that's hell on earth, bringing them up in a new world society, bringing them up in a society that's all about genocide anyway, bringing them up in a society that's going to kill them anyway, make them sick anyway. It's child abuse to have children nowadays. It's child abuse. You should be put in jail.
It's definitely, basically, yeah, having a kid is tantamount to child abuse these days. No disagreement on that. But say they're in the way, they are the a guarantee that mankind will continue going. It's the next generation. They have to be there, you know, just every stage of life. From, you know, pupil, larval, butterfly, egg. These are all stages of life. So, now, I do want to I listen to this comedian. I love him a lot. His name's Bill Burr. I've seen all his specials and everything, but he really comes down to it. He talks about his own conspiracies and whatnot, but one thing he always talks about is population control and how he feels as though, you know, oh, kill a few hundred thousand people here, a few hundred thousand people there. Oh, look at that. You know, the roads are opening up a little bit more. And it's like, okay. You equated the lives of hundreds of thousands of people to taking 15 minutes off of your travel time down the highway. That's exactly right. He does this joke all the time.
Yeah.
So I laugh, but I think it's disturbing.
I see your point.
Well, I mean, yes, there are those who are here now, but there are those who are here now that aren't doing nothing either. To say that bringing a child into this world today is child abuse, but it's more of neglect for not having taken care of those people who think they are above us.
Well, kids need to be taken care of too. You know, you don't want to bring a kid into a poverty-ridden family.
Getting rid of the corruption in our establishment. That's what I mean by taking care of.
Well, you're not ever going to get rid of the corruption in our establishment, so forget about that.
Doesn't mean we can't try.
I mean, that's a moot point.
Well, there are things that we can adopt as a people. Science is getting ever more advanced.
Yeah, and it's 50 years ahead of what anything you and I could talk about tonight here on air. It's 50 years ahead of our time here. We're antiquated. Anything we could say is antiquated and just old news.
Well, I mean, but they have machines, like MRI machines, that these neuroscientists, they can put you in it, and they can tell whether you're a psychopath or not. They give you a test.
They're working on that. They might have that underground going on underground in their underground cities. That's really.
I'll send you the Wired magazine article, but they have it. So that is one thing right there. stopping psychopaths from reaching power. I don't know how you would do that in a democratic society, but, you know, how would you keep a minority from reaching power? I'd probably do the same fruition of methods. But anyhow, so in all this talk about poverty, and there's something called a job. They're all get a job. But there's another side to that. It's called hiring. I know people to this day from high school that just a nonstop job applications put out any and everywhere and can't not get a job. And I'm pretty sure it's based on how they look.
Probably.
So
I could go out tomorrow and get a job tomorrow. Yeah. On my walker.
That's what I'm talking about. That's not a problem for you. It's not a problem for these people who think that everybody else is a problem.
Yeah.
Just to put things into perspective, I want to get back onto. I don't want to. If we can rehash this out as many times as we need to, but I want to get back onto the virus here, and I really want to point out that, and I want your opinion on this, of course. I really want to point out that if you really have the science down with these, you know, the gene editing, things like that, the CRISPR, why modify the human instead of modifying the virus or the disease? Technically speaking, if we have that much genetic control, there should be no more viruses that could threaten us. Right?
That's not true, because gene editing is genome engineering, and genome engineering is gene editing, and it's a type of genetic engineering in which the deoxyribonucleic factor is inserted or deleted or modified or replaced. We already know all this inside the genome of a living organism. You know, it's unlike early genetic engineering techniques that randomly inserts genetic material into the host genome. Genome editing itself targets the insertions to specific site locations. And we're talking about the zinc finger nucleus and the TALEN and the CRISPR-Cas9. You know about CRISPR-Cas9. You've studied that. And then you have your template, and then you have your homology, directed repair of HDR, and then you have your mammography, and then your mediated mammography. So it's this is the first time that that a pathogen has been weaponized in the history of pathogens, except for the HIV, gene edited.
My point is, the manipulation of the virus in itself, which it has been weaponized, but it can also be made to be harmless against our variables.
It should be if we weren't wanting to weaponize it and depopulate the planet.
It can even be made to attack its original strain.
It can be made to attack itself.
Right.
At the template level and the homology level, directed repair, where the RNA, mRNA coming out to go in and clip with CRISPR the DNA out through the modified technique, you could put in anything you wanted to. You could insert anything you wanted to in there. So this is a very forward-moving game. It's a very conscious game. It's a very goal-oriented game. They know exactly what they're putting in there. And by the way, that will come in the second wave of COVID vaccines, not in this first wave. The second wave of COVID vaccines will contain all of that we have talked about, that I've talked about, as far as the luciferous fluorescent synthetic that will be there to see if you've had the vax or not, and the quantum tattoo will be there to grow into your parasympathetic sympathetic nervous system, And of course, the RFID chip will be very prevalent by then, as it already is in hundreds of thousands of corporations across the world. They're using that and have been for many years. They're wanting to depopulate the planet. They want to get rid of the ne'er-do-wells and the alcoholics. They want to get rid of the drug addicts. They want to get rid of the mentally ill, the mentally retarded, the disabled. They want to get rid of all the homeless. They want to get rid of all the air breathers. So let's go into this conversation with that in mind. We're at war, and that's what they're going to do. It's not what they want to do. It's what they're doing right now. We have senior citizens dying in nursing homes because of this first vaccine that carries with it the nanobots and the nanoparticles to hook up to 5 and 6G and to be able to control the death of these older folks with comorbidity. And, of course, most of them have comorbidity if they're over 65. I'm comorbid myself. Billy's comorbid, so we're comorbidity. We have diseases and illnesses in our body already, so it makes it easy for the vaccine to go in and kill us. But that's the whole thing here is we want to kill people. We want to kill people. We want to depopulate the planet. So I don't know why we're talking about all these other things. Why don't we just get to the grassroots here, get to the point? We want to depopulate the planet. We want to bring it down to 9/10 of the population. We want the elite to live in paradise. And we need to get rid of all these white and black and Hispanic and Indian and Hindu and Buddhist and whatever, Muslim kids. Abort them. Don't have them. Use a rubber. Use some kind of birth control. Muslims have already said all the imams are coming on now saying, we're going to kill you all, we're going to kill you all, we're going to out-baby you, we're going to have 9 babies to your 3, and we're going to take over your country with babies. I mean, the imams are coming out saying that publicly every day now, the Muslim imams. But, I just think we need to get to the point, whether you're talking about gene targeting or homologous combinations or conditional targeting or double-strand break repairs or engineered nucleuses or whatever. Zinc finger nucleuses, talons, CRISPR, whatever.
Well, I'm just trying to point out the fact that there are options, and the worst option has been chosen. Now, population control, that's fine, but it would be something viable, I guess, on a Hitler level, pre-Hitler level, but there's still the idea of racism here. So do you think they're going to leave an equal amount of every race on the planet?
No, there's definitely a predisposition to hate black people, black folks. No. There's still that nigger thing going on, where white people like to use that word nigger. I mean, they don't like black people. I mean, white people, the majority of white people just don't like black people. You know what I mean? They don't like black people. They think they're less intelligent. They think they're less motivated. They think they're lazy. They think they're drug addicts. They think they'll steal from you. They think they'll beat you up. They'll go to the other side of the street to get away from 2 black guys walking toward them with their pants pulled halfway down. Yeah, we have a racist country here.
Yeah, the irony of it, that is the greatest of ignorance ever. I mean, I do know what you're talking about, Kyler. And for example, I've talked to such police in certain situations. Okay, they come up to me and they talk to me, and I'm. Demeanor that, very aggressive. Am I going to have to take this guy? Am I going to have to, And I open my mouth. Oh, hello, officer. How are you doing today? And they immediately, relax. They untense. And, at the end of the conversation, we're joking and laughing with each other.
Right, because you sound like a white person. You sound like a white person. Your linguistics
pattern. No, I sound educated, and I sound a certain culture, a certain way.
Well, I just said it. You sound like a white person. Right off the top of my head, you sound like a white guy. You're very educated, very astute, very educated, very wise. you know how to use your syntax, you know how to use your vocabulary, you know how to use your language, your personality, you know, the way you stand, the way you carry yourself, your facial expressions, voice.
You know how you flip that on me, though, right? As I'm telling you, the mass ignorance there, and then you tell me I sound like a white person. Do you not see how funny that is?
Funny. Well, a lot of your black friends may call you a wannabe.
No, it's not a wigger. It's a Oreo or it's something to that effect. I don't know. I just say I'm beat cover.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you at all. Billy had something. Billy had something to say there a while ago. I don't know. I think I ran over him. Billy, what were you going to say?
No, you didn't run over me. I was listening. I was going to flatter you. We got into the viral thing. I heard two stories today back to back. You and I have contention, I guess, 99% of the time. But every now and then, old Kyler will knock the ball over the fence, and I'll go, damn. You know? And one of the things he did, there was a nurse who was in perfect health, loved to play golf. I mean, the whole nine yards, vegetarian, the whole thing. And she took the, I think it was a Pfizer version of this vaccine. Went with her family, had a good dinner, everybody was happy. And she woke up the next day as dead as fried chicken. And then in Los Angeles, no less, and everything. Do I sound white enough? Anyway, Los Angeles, no less. They're giving out this to the first responders, the medical people and everything. And the stats came back, 60% of them were saying, no thanks. Hey, I'm cool. I'll just eat the apple, okay? And backing away. But on another subject, on what we were talking about previously, on the abortion and everything, and I'm going to say this one statement, and y'all will take off on it like a couple of jets and everything. If you have to resort to things like that, your society has failed. And perhaps your society does need to die, you know,
right.
like the Neanderthals. Your thoughts, gentlemen?
Yeah.
Well,
definitely one of our options. Definitely an option on the table.
But I'm sorry, I'm having issues with my mic here. But you gotta look at everything from a full perspective, 360 degrees here. I don't see too much of the major dangers to the planet and Mother Earth being from blacks or any minorities around the planet. We don't have nuclear power plants. We don't have waste going everywhere.
That's you. You're one man. One educated black man. One fine educated black man.
Gotta go.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.